In January 2020, I got my first internship in tech, and that opened up an entire world for me. It started my tech career basically. And since that time, I've worked as a technical developer, a front-end developer, a back-end developer, and a software developer. So basically, I've explored most of these three roles, and but I've largely worked as a front-end developer, like most of you listening to this would know. In this time, I've worked remotely, I've worked on site, I've worked across different time zones with different technologies, with different teams. I've also worked with different industries. I started my career with a sales tech corporation, then I moved on to consumer tech, then I moved on to industries working on SaaS product, then I moved on to industries training developers, right? So I think that those have been interesting experiences. In the course of these years, I've also been through boot camps, I've been self-taught on some occasions. I've been through internships, contract, and full-time roles. Now, it's my 3rd year as a software developer, and I've been told that these are the peak times of my career, and I intend to take advantage of this, right? I mean, if people are telling me this is the peak of my career. So while I strategize and plan for how I'm going to move onwards, forwards, and grow, I decided to just take a stock of what my career has been, my regrets, my what I call these celebrations now, were things that I did that I was like, okay, maybe that wasn't so bad, and things that I did that I just cringe looking back, and lessons that I've learned. And so I just thought to just record this podcast to take you along some of those lessons, and I hope you learn from them. These are not even one-off, like, oh, these are lessons from my 3-year career, throw them away. These are lessons that I'll continue to teach myself going forward because I don't think they apply to just early stage career. Now, mid-level or moving onwards and forwards, I feel like these are really solid tips that helped me, or that, yeah, that helped me, and I know will continue to help me because I do intend to take my own advice. Welcome to Trant. I'm your host, Blossom Babalola, and on here I talk about my career as a software engineer, my career in the tech industry, and sometimes I even bring you lived experiences of other people who have careers in the tech industry, Scrum Master, UI UX designer, and anything that you might ask or want to know. I also talk about my personal learnings and journey, and basically what it's like having a career in tech. So if that's your cup of tea, I hope you hang on for the ride. And if it's not, I hope career is sort of your thing, or just the sort of your thing. First lesson is build projects. No matter how much you learn, no matter how much tutorials you watch, it will remain with all that knowledge in your head unless you actually build project. And I was grateful to take a course. I took the Angela Hughes Web Developer Tech 2020 full was it full stack then? I don't remember the actual course, the actual name it was called, but it was a full roadmap, front end, back end. It was the 2020 complete roadmap by Angela Yu on Udemy, and she was very practical with projects. Literally every course, every module, we're working on projects, and some of these projects, they were really basic, but they really helped me in securing internships and in getting hackathons, right? Because it is one thing to say you are a developer. People want to know, okay, what have you done? And again, most of these projects were really, really basic. Like my first internship, I bought a course in December of 2019, and I got my internship in January 2020. And my employee at the time asked what I had worked done. And it was this project that I watched during this course that I had built myself, because she would encourage you to build them yourself. And I always did that. So I showed it to him, and he told me point blank that he wasn't impressed with the project, but it's an internship and definitely be taking me on because he liked the way I spoke, and so I had the tenacity, and I was referred. So yeah, that definitely helped. So definitely build projects, because it is one thing to say that you are a software developer, you're a front-end developer, you're a back-end developer. What do you have to show for it? That definitely will be getting hackathons too, because you always ask, what have you done? Share a link to your portfolio. However, one of my regrets is that I definitely just tanked at that point. I didn't build enough projects that were impressive or any at all. I just built all this bare minimum project or this weather apps to do list. And once I got the job and I was working my jobs and moving across jobs. I never really took the time to invest in building a personal project that really was impressive, because there was a point in my career where I wanted to get a full-time role with a company overseas, and they asked for my portfolio. They wanted to see what I'd done. That was the only interview process. They didn't have all these DSA or any complicated projects. All they wanted was, let me see your project and team bonding. Do you get along with our team? Do our team like you? Do you like the team? That was the only two stages in the interview process, but I didn't have any impressive project. In fact, I was embarrassed to go into the interview after I applied for the job, and then I got like an interview date, right? And I saw the steps that would be needed in the interview, and I was like, God, I don't think that any of my projects are impressive for this kind of interview. And I was right. It did tell me point blank that none of my projects reflected the kind of skills they needed for that role. And I felt so bad. I felt terrible. And yeah, definitely build projects that are wow. Literally build wow projects. Build standout projects. I have a couple of mentees nowadays, people that I talk to about career development. And I'm like, if you are building projects, please don't build weather apps. Please don't build to-do lists. Build projects that stand out. Can you build Trello? You use Trello a lot. Build Trello. Don't just build the front end bare bones. Build the back end to write the code, write tests, make it very impressive, make it something you can talk about. You don't have to build 1,001 things and add it to a portfolio project. Just build one thing, one single thing that is impressive. Spend months on it. Spend an entire year on it. Learn as you go, but just make sure you build a project that is worthwhile. That is something I learned and something that I continue to learn, because I do plan to build even more impressive projects now. Another thing that I also learned is to document your progress or document your journey, your tech journey. When I started writing blogs on was it Dev2 and Medium, and going back to those blogs, it feels quite nostalgic. It's like a measurement tool of how far you've come. You get to see the first time you learned about Flex, and now it's no more daunting to you. So documenting your project really helps you see how far you've come. They're a good measuring pad, and many times people will find you on this thing and journey with you. And you form friendships, you form networks and connections that way. Some of the articles I had written on Dev2 and Medium really helped me get into some projects later on and some hackathons. But I definitely would have invested more in it and built more kind of like a community around my growth. I've seen a lot of people build in public and get even more speaking events, speaking engagement, even referrals from documenting their project, building in public, that sort of thing. They can be used interchangeably, really. But in my time, I called it documenting my journey. Now is building in public. And the idea is not really to position yourself as some sort of influencer or someone that has all the knowledge, but just sharing the little you know, being humble about it, like, okay, this is what I'm learning. And you are open to learn and grow, because many times people come on the internet and start to talk like an expert about things that they have no idea about or they have limited knowledge about. That is not the idea here. The idea is you are in a process of learning, of growing, and you want to be able to come back to this journey and really see how far you've come and build a community of other learners and encouraging them, because most sometimes when people don't know a lot, there's this lack of self-confidence. You know, ignorance sometimes work hand in hand with lack of self-confidence, especially when you're exposed to tech community where there are so many knowledgeable people. So when you talk about your journey, it encourages all that learners to, and then you build this community. I did that documenting on blogs, but I will be doing it more now on other channels like LinkedIn. I think I even started to do that with LinkedIn last year with my data structures and algorithm journey, and I met a lot of fantastic connections, connected with so many people who are willing to correct you and invest time in your growth, invest resources to see you grow better. So definitely document your journey and build in public. Another thing that I also did was to explore. Like I started my career as a technical developer, back-end developer, software developer, front-end developer. These were different roles that I explored. I learned a lot of tools. And while it is good to specialize, you want to be a master of one thing at least. You don't want to confine yourself to just front-end development. You want to know what is going on the back-end. If talking interests you, like podcasts, YouTube, you want to invest in learning about developer relations. If you like front-end, okay, you like visual things, then do you care to know what UI, UX or product designing is about, or product management? You know, tech is wide, tech is vast, tech is an entire field. And so you don't want to just confine yourself to one aspect. You want to explore. I've definitely explored being a back-end developer. I've explored UI, UX. Before I finally set it for front-end, like, yeah, this is what I want to invest my time and resources in. And then last year, I realized, okay, I like developer relations. I like the entire thing of creating content for other developers. So you want to explore yourself. You want to explore tools. If you use React, explore Vue, explore Angular. If you use Node.js, explore Python, explore Ruby. Don't be confined, right? You want to have a little bit knowledge of all these things. And it's not going to be that difficult, because once you are armed with the knowledge of how to learn, it's going to be easier to pick up all this other knowledge. So moving on, exploring is something that I've always done. I won't say there's anything I want to do differently. Sometimes I even feel like, am I stretching myself too thin? Am I confused? And then I remind myself that no, like having a little bit of all this knowledge helps me to have conversations with other developers, even back-end, systems engineering, and the conversation just goes well. So you want to have a bit of knowledge of some of these things. Don't just confine yourself to your specific field. Next, if you are starting out, this applies to if you are starting out. I would say that apply to lots of hackathons, apply to lots of projects, building sort of thing. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing this correctly, but there are lots of internships nowadays, even freebies, volunteering, hackathons, anything that's like a community where you have to build and work with a bunch of developers, do this thing. I did this a lot. There are many that I dropped out because I just could not cope. There are many where I was dropped out, like kicked out, because, well, I didn't scale through the next stage. But the relationships I formed, I distinctly remember one that landed me my current role. I didn't make it to the final stage. I dropped out. But the connection I made, the community, I was in a group with some people who worked together, and they referred me for my current role. And these things really help you. That was when I really learned about pull requests, gates, and all those things. In fact, my first hackathon with GADS, this Google Andela Developer School, where they have this project thing, that was when I learned how to use Git, Git add, Git commit. And these tools were, I started learning to code like really, really in December 2019 with the Andela Use course. And then I also got into that hackathon in that same December, like 2 weeks after I got into the course. And that was when I learned how to use Git. I was so confused, but someone put me through in the Slack channel we were on. Someone put me through on how to use the Git tools, and I was able to fork from the repo, you know, make my own pull request and all those things. I didn't make it to the next stage. But that particular tool was work when I resumed my job in January. I was able to do all those things effortlessly. Now, I didn't scale it through the hackathon, but I'd learned the skill. So you want to, as much as possible, join all these programs or internships or volunteering, anything that requires you to learn with other developers. Just get into that and learn. I think next year, at this stage, I don't think I want to join any more internships, but I'll be joining a lot of hackathons in the next year. I want to join, I've been eyeing the Google Code Jam and the Google Open Source, and also Outreach Open Source. I've applied twice to Outreach Open Source, I didn't get in. I'll be trying again this year. I'm saying next year, this year, even the Google Code Jam. I'm working toward that DSA so that I get into the Google Code Jam. You know, these are things that you can look forward to. You get to work with other developers. You get to work on exciting projects. So definitely up on all of these opportunities as they come. They are not like full-time roles. They are not jobs, but there are things that you can do to build yourself up as a developer and connect with other developers. Next is also find a community. I'm saying next because I didn't number these points and I'm quite lost, but I think this is the fourth or fifth point. But find a community and be a part. See, you don't have to be a part of 10 different tech communities. Find one and be active in that one. All you need is one community that can vouch for you, one community that can speak for you, one committee where you can serve and be known. What you need to do is have an ecosystem of developers that know what you do. I know so many developers who are better than I am, who are basically the best, right? Like, these people spit code, they talk code, but their career seems kind of like plagued, like stagnated. They are not green because no one knows them, no one is speaking for them. They are the only ones speaking for themselves. And how much can you actually say for yourself when your network is not that wide? You can't be the only one speaking for you. Obviously, your work will speak for you, but who is even seeing your work? So you need to find a network of community, a network of developers, a community of developers where you can attach yourself to. They would speak for you. You would speak for them. And no go with the mindset of, oh, I want to network, I want people to speak for me. You would find it unnatural, you'll be burnt out, you'll be tired because there are so many people with that kind of mindset. But just go there like, okay, I want to meet new people, I want to serve, I want to volunteer, how can I help other developers with the knowledge? You know, I find that when you go with this mindset of service, of wanting to help others, it helps you to grow. But when you go with this, oh, who is the next person that will refer me? I'm looking for this person that will refer me. This parasitic mindset, you'll be burnt out. You won't get what you want. And then people can just tell that you're not being genuine. So just find a community that truly interests you. Now, there are different communities. There are women communities. There are like black women. There's a lot of communities, tech in diaspora, black tech. There are so many tech communities that you can join. Find one that is passionate about what you do. Affiliate yourself with them. Find a way to serve and find a way to be active. You don't have to stretch yourself with 100 different tech communities. But make sure you find a community and be active. And you also learn so much. So yeah. Definitely do that, and I'll be doing more of that. I found communities I'm very affiliated with and passionate about. Like Chicode Africa is my top community. I'm also part of a couple of others, but yeah, you want to find ones and find ways that you can be more active in them. So this is probably the sixth or fifth point. I apologize for not numbering, but learn to read documentation. Now, every single tutorial that you've ever watched is a sort of interpretation or personal interpretation of the documentation. The documentation was written by the people who actually designed the tool. They know their tool better, they know their tool intimately, and you will learn better from the documentation than you will from tutorials. I don't know where I actually learned this or how I learned this, but tutorials, it's easy to watch tutorials, right? Because I usually tell myself, oh, I'm a visual learner, so I have to go to YouTube. But really, I was just trying to avoid the hard work of sitting down with the documentation and intently studying. And most times when you go to the YouTube tutorials, I usually fall into the tutorial hell because there are 1,001 creators who have made something similar. So I'm like jumping around and never really intently learning, never really giving it my full focus and learning what I need to. And so I gave myself a challenge right now that to learn Docker, that okay, let me read the documentation. I would only visit a tutorial, watch a tutorial after I was done with the documentation. And I was surprised that I could set it up and follow the documentation. You know, there are so many things that, and I've even watched a tutorial where the tutor was saying things like, this is just the basics, so no more, read the documentation. It was being honest to tell you that it's not going to give you everything about the language, but you have to go and check the documentation. Not every creator is going to tell you that. They'll just give you the bare minimum, not that they don't want to do more for you. But that's just the extent to which they can do. They didn't write the language. The people who have written the language, who are paid to document the language that their company have built, have written a much more intimately documented documentation for you. So you learn to read documentation, and the more you learn to read documentation, the easier it is for you to read other people's code, because documentation, basically there'll be code tutorials, code snippets for you to follow. And when you give yourself the time to actually understand how it is written, you understand how to structure your questions better on Google, understand Stack Overflow questions without just copying it, but actually reading code and understanding what code is doing. When you start to contribute to open source, you will understand how to read code. Learning to read documentation is an actual skill, right? I wish I learned this skill earlier. It would have saved me countless of hours in tutorial L, because I would have just had a structure. And personally, I love to read. I'm a reader. So I now always wondered, why did I lie to myself that I could only learn programming languages if I watched the video? I was just lying to myself. I was being lazy. Because to be fair, watching tutorials is the easy way out. Reading documentation is hard. It is not easy. It is definitely hard. But the hard things are more rewarding. So yeah, learn to read documentation. This is something I'll be deliberately doing in this new year. Reading documentation. It is so good for myself, for my growth. It just expands and rewires my brain connections to accommodate to doing hard things. Now, is this the seventh or the sixth point? But definitely, this is the is it game changer, or this is literally the unfair advantage, and it is finding a mentor. I had a mentor in 2020, and I believe that is responsible for the bulk of my career growth, because I had someone who was genuinely interested in my growth. This person wanted to see me grow. We're speaking every day of the week. We're speaking almost round the clock, right? They were monitoring my growth, monitoring what I was doing at work, and it was explosive. I got into so many hackathons, so many internships. After my first internship, I got jobs right after, and that's because I had a mentor who was pushing me to understanding code, to doing better. I had someone that was accountable to. I could not just chicken out because someone was on my neck, breathing on my space. Now I acknowledge and admit that I was privileged to get a mentor who was invested in my growth. You might not necessarily get that now, because to be fair, everyone is busy trying to make a living and advance their own career, so they might not be able to invest the amount of time that I just said my mentor invested in me. Even personally, I was fortunate to have had someone invest the amount of time in me. I don't know if I can invest that amount of time in someone else, because that was, thinking about it now with where I am, I'm in so much awe and gratitude of my mentor then, because I was like, how were you able to? I'm struggling to meet with my mentee 2 times a month. We have bi-weekly meetings, and sometimes I miss these meetings, though I try not to. But yeah, I have to, you know, push myself and tell myself, no, you have to do this. You owe your time to this person to actually show up. You owe this person your time, so just show up. It's not easy to show up for someone else, right, when there is no reward apart from the person's growth. So yeah, you might not find this, and it's okay if you don't. It's not compulsory that you do. Personally, I would be looking for a mentor in this new year onwards and forwards. I think I found a site where I can find a coding mentor. I'm going to explore it and see how that goes. I did get one last year, but like I said, everyone is busy with their lives, and it could not really hold consistently as much as I would have liked to. In fact, my mentor stopped replying my mails, which was quite painful. So yeah, I'm still on the search for a mentor, and I will not actively say, oh, I'm looking for you to mentor me. Just someone that you can hold yourself accountable to. You know, asking someone to be your mentor is a huge task and responsibility, and to just run away from it. In fact, people that I'm currently mentoring had the sense not to ask me to be their mentor. My mentor in 2020, I didn't ask him to be my mentor. I just asked, okay, can you coach me through this? I need help with this. I need, and the goal is come through. That is mentoring. So this person always asks, oh, I am currently studying this. I need someone to be accountable to. And I'm like, okay, let's set up bi-weekly meetings. And that was how the whole mentoring issue came about. So you won't actively go and be like, can you be my mentor? In what aspect? How? They're so confused. So yeah. And I also have an episode where I was like, you know, don't just, if you don't have access to someone to personally tell them that you want to be accountable to them, if you don't have that sort of relationship, because you have to have a sort of relationship to tell someone you want to be accountable to. Imagine a stranger just comes to you and be like, can I be accountable to you? Sorry, no, you cannot be. You can be accountable to someone that you know. So yeah, it's quite daunting. It's a daunting task and every responsibility. So if you don't have that personally in your life, then maybe you can have someone that you watch from afar. Like someone, there has to be someone that is where you want to be, and you just learn from them by immersion. You follow up with their books, their articles, their posts. And that is also mentoring. And you try to see, they always have some sort of, people like that always have some sort of metrics and guide, so you can just sort of follow that, and it's still a sort of mentoring. But mentoring is an unfair advantage, because you are literally learning from someone else's experience and knowledge, and so you are skipping over the mistakes that you could have made because there is someone holding your hands. Mentoring changed my life. Now that I see it, in 2021, 2022, I was not that appreciative. 2022, I started to take it seriously, but then not that serious. But now I'm like, whoa, that was a lot of time commitment from that person in 2020. And I keep saying that person, but it's Jason. So yeah, that was a lot of time commitment. And yeah, onwards and forwards, I'll try to find someone I look up to and immerse myself, whether personally or from afar. Was literally a game changer. These are the things that I've learned from my 3 years. There are more. When I start to think about them retrospectively, there's always more. And if I do feel the need to share, I will share them. But I hope you found this helpful. These are actionable tips that I am literally running with for about 3 years into my career. I'll be taking milestones. I have career goals for this year, and then I have the 5-year goal. So yeah, these are metrics that you want to kind of like factor in and see how you are doing and how you can also set your own goals. I wish you all the best, and it's going to be a great year for you career wise. So hang in there, all the best. Thank you so much for hanging out with me. I hope you learned something new, pondered on something new, or something made this whole episode worth your time. If you had any thoughts or anything you'd like to share, you can find me on my social media platforms as Blossom Babalola, except for Instagram, which is B_Trantin. It's going to be linked in the description, so you don't have to stress yourself about it. I'll see you on my next episode. Thank you for listening and supporting me. Bye.